I wondered, what was Jesus thankful for? And so I just did a quick search on the word thanks or thankful or along that lines. And I found four things that the Bible tells us that Jesus was thankful for. And I found this interesting. We'll begin in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. We'll begin in verse number 20. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, just kind of as a side note, think about what he just said. Because if we were to take a poll before we read this verse, and the poll being, what do you suppose was the wickedest city in the history of man? Probably Sodom would have topped the list. And yet God is saying that Capernaum was more wicked than Sodom, because Capernaum had more privilege than Sodom had. And so what an interesting thought that is. But he's talking about the works he had done that had proclaimed him to be the Son of God. All right, and so as we continue on, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee. And so here we see his thankfulness. So the question is, what is he thankful for? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And so we see Jesus being thankful that God has revealed these things to babes. Now, the question is, what are these things? And that's why I back up to verse number 20. Verse number 20 and down up to the point where Jesus offers that prayer to God of thankfulness. He's telling about how man would know who he is, the Son of God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, the Messiah that the Jews had been searching for. It's interesting when we consider also with that thought that God refers to us as babes. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now here's a question to remember. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Now, we think of that word disputer as someone who's argumentative, but this would be of reference to those that are wise, that have the intelligence and the knowledge of facts to be able to discuss subjects and to make points and to convince people of things. Where's the disputer of the world? Where are these people? And he's talking in reference to the local church, to Christianity. How many of these get saved? And that's the whole point here, because as we go down in the next verse, verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Let's jump down a little bit. Let's go to verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence Then verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is not very flattering to you or to me, is it? Because he's talking about the Christian being the foolish and being the base and being the despised and being the weak. But if we turn back to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus calls us babes, essentially saying the same thing there. But God has chosen to reveal his Son to you and I. And what he's trying to get across to us is that we're just simply trusting. Children are a lot of fun because you can convince them of just about anything. The young lady that was with us this past Sunday morning worked in a daycare center. And she had those kids convinced that she had no stomach at all. And she came up with this great elaborate tale. And she had this thing going for several weeks before one of the other teachers in the daycare center finally convinced the kid that, yeah, she does have a stomach. And but she had a lot of fun with it. The kids are gullible. But they're only gullible because they have such a childlike faith. And that's what you and I are supposed to have in our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is thankful that these are the type of people, you and me, the foolish, the weak, the wise, the babes of this world, that God has revealed him to you and I so that he can have that relationship with us. And so that's the first thing we find that Jesus is thankful for, that God has revealed the Son to babes. Over in chapter 15 of the book of Matthew, chapter 15, we're familiar with this event in history. Jesus is out preaching and the people are hungry. And Jesus says, let's feed the folks that are here. And they just don't see how it's going to happen. The disciples don't. Jesus says, well, let's see what we got. And they come back in verse number 34. Verse 34, they said, seven and a few little fishes, seven pieces of bread and a few fish. So what does Jesus do? He says, that's enough. He has have everybody seated, but notice what he does in verse 36. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples. And the disciples of the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. So we don't know how many ate off of those seven loaves and those few fish. But what we find is Jesus was thankful for provision, the provision of God, physical provision. You know, we might think, well, he was just doing what we're taught to do, return thanks for the food that God supplies. We are supposed to do that. And we are supposed to be grateful, but it's just like singing the hymns of the faith. Too often it becomes just mechanical and we don't really have that heartfelt gratitude. We're just doing it because it's habitual. But we need to learn like Jesus did that whatever we have is sufficient. God has supplied it and we should have a grateful heart. The third thing that we find Jesus was thankful for, this is still in the book of Matthew over in chapter 26. Here we have what we call the Last Supper, where he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And in the midst of that, we find in verse number 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, or gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, here in Matthew, when he talks about the bread, it just says he blessed it. If we would read in Luke or in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find that Jesus thanked or gave thanks for the bread. But notice also when he takes the cup, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I think what Jesus is being thankful for here is the plan of salvation. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows he's about to die. And yet we don't find him discouraged or depressed or regretful. We don't find him melancholy. We just find him looking forward to it and being grateful that he is able to do what was needed to be done to have that relationship with us that had been broken by sin. And I think we can't overlook that statement he makes about drinking it with him in the kingdom. What he's saying is, you'll be with me in heaven someday. And it won't be that long, but you'll be with me and we'll enjoy fellowship. That's the whole concept between sharing a meal and sharing bread together, is the fellowship that is involved with it. And so he's thankful for the plan of salvation that provides that. Now the fourth thing, we have to turn over to the book of John chapter 11. And this is something, a little bit of history that's taught to the youngest of our children. And it ought to be taught to the youngest of our children. So we're all familiar with this. It's chapter 11, verse 41. This is when Lazarus had died, and Jesus came, and they were, of course, all sad. Jesus wept. I don't believe he wept because he was sorry that Lazarus had died. I think he wept because there was so little faith in the people. But we find in verse 41, then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, what's he thankful for here? Answered prayer. And I think it's something that's so easy to take for granted. And we whisper our prayers, and if we're praying without ceasing and having that attitude of prayer like we ought to, we ought to be rattling prayers off almost constantly when we see different situations in our lives and in the lives of others. And that should be our first reaction when that crazy driver is cutting in and out of traffic. We should be praying for them, for their safety and the cars around them. That's not usually the first thoughts in our mind, though, is it? And I'm as guilty as you are on that one. But we should be praying all the time, but we should be grateful that God answers prayer. Amen. And even though we don't put a lot of thought behind it, and we may not think back and consider the things we had prayed for, not as alert or attentive in prayer as we ought to be, God is still faithful, isn't he? And so we ought to be grateful that God in heaven, in all of his holiness, in all of his greatness, all of his majesty, listens to us. And not just listens, but heeds us and moves at our request. And so these are things that Jesus was thankful for. It maybe puts a little bit different perspective on Thanksgiving Day as we render thanks to what God has done for us. But Jesus thanked God that God revealed the Son to babes, that's you and me. He was thankful for physical provision. We're always grateful for that. He was thankful for the plan of salvation and for answered prayer. What are you thankful about? Too often, we're thankful for physical, material things. And I kind of want to draw our attention to the spiritual. And we all know that's where we're supposed to be on Thanksgiving Day. And so I hope this was a help and a blessing to you. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word and the things we can learn from it. Thank you for just telling us so much about yourself and how we can grasp your mind through the scriptures. Father, we thank you for your transparency. And Lord, now as we are in the Thanksgiving season, Father, through all the hustle and bustle and all the time spent with family, and Lord, we're so grateful for your blessings there. But Father, help us to pause and consider how great you are and have been in our lives. And Father, may we thank you and have grateful hearts for all you've done and will do for us. Father, now dismiss us with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.